Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, their information, tips, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Joe Kramer, founder of Ruck On. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So why don't we start? I like our audience to get to know the guests a little bit and a little bit more about why leadership for you. So why don't you start us off?
Sure. As you said, my name is Joe Kramer. I am a 2016 graduate of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. After that, I served just under 2 years as an Army officer. Since then, I've worked in a few different industries. I'm married with four kids. We live in Northern Colorado, and I'm a big fan of, well, obviously the audience can't see it, but I'm a big hockey fan. I played while I was at West Point and all growing up, and do everything that I can to continue to get out on the ice even now.
Excellent, because we have a lot of Canadian listeners out there. I'm sure they're like, aha. Let's talk a little bit about your topic of choice. And I love this topic because this can be very transformational if we pay attention to it. And that is about failures and mistakes and how we can improve ourselves because of those. So why is this an important leadership topic for you?
I think just because, I mean, really it was, a reframing of my own personal relationship with failure. And it was something that, looking back, I was in, you know, I was in a certain situation, in a leadership position, and I failed. And then a couple of years down the line, I found myself in a very similar situation, and using the lessons that I had learned from that previous failure, I was able to take some of those lessons and avoid the same pitfalls and ultimately have a much different and much better result coming out of it. So when at West Point over the summers, there are different military training exercises that they put every cadet through to prepare to become an officer. And so one of these summer training exercises, and what they do is they'll rotate folks in and out of leadership positions. Okay. So that way they can kind of grade and assess how you perform as a leader, and, you know, give you feedback on things, you know, that went well, things to improve upon. Mm-hmm. So, in this particular instance, I was the acting platoon leader. So kind of the guy in the hot seat, and, we were maneuvering through the woods. There, other cadets playing the opposition forces, and, I had an opportunity to take them by surprise, but I had a breakdown in radio communications and couldn't communicate with all of my elements. And so we ended up being attacked first. And in the moment, I kind of froze. I wasn't sure what to do. And it wasn't until one of the actual officers kind of overseeing things came up and said that, you know, Cadet Kramer, sometimes when things don't go as planned, you just need to charge forward, say, follow me, and kind of let everything sort itself out from there. So I took that advice and kind of muddled through the rest of the attack and the mission and everything. And so, you know, obviously in a real world military application, that that's kind of a failure. You know, you don't want to
Yes.
be the leader that freezes, you know, in a situation like that. So, but fast forwarding a couple years, when I was an actual platoon leader, a second lieutenant in the army, my unit was preparing for a deployment to Kuwait, and we had to go through multiple training exercises to lead up to that. And I found myself in a very similar situation where me, my platoon, and a few other folks were in a spot, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, get ambushed. And initially, I was kind of deferring to some of the senior folks that have been there, had some more experience, and they were the ones that kind of froze up. And so after seeing that, I was like, okay, well, I've dealt with this before. So I ended up just taking my platoon and kind of leaving the other folk, like, you guys sort yourselves out. I'm going to take my guys, and we're going to do something about this. And so I took my guys aside, you know, kind of explained the situation. Here's what's going on. Here's what we're going to try and do, in response. And it, you know, it wasn't pretty, you know, probably not the most textbook, response, but we ended up, you know, coming out of it a lot more successfully. You know, we eliminated threat, so to speak, and, you know, took care of the opposing forces, and yeah, a much, much different and a much better result, just by, you know, kind of applying lessons learned from a previous failure.
Yeah, I'd love that because I'm all about taking mistakes or failures and figuring out how we can stop them from happening next time. You know, from just putting a reminder somewhere to when you're in these really heavy pressure situations, well, whether it be military or, you know, in an organization, there can be a lot of pressure. And understanding that sometimes we need to think on our feet, but we can reflect like you did, and what did I learn from the past that I can apply in the future? And so I want to touch a bit on that. Because pressure comes into a lot of organizations, obviously in the military as well, all different types of pressure. And sometimes leaders don't think very clearly around that. So you took a failure and you let it work for you. How can leaders say who are not in the military, and I know that's been your experience with that one, but let's say something happens in an organization, how can the leaders let their team know that the failure is okay? Obviously, unless it's something that is, you know, deemed out of, you know, being okay, whatever that scope might be. But how do we let our team know that, you know what, it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to fail because we can learn from it.
You know, I think, you know, as a leader, you have a lot of responsibility in terms of, you know, kind of shaping the culture of a team. And I think the biggest thing is how you respond when someone does fail.
I like that, yeah.
So I think as a leader, if you truly want to have that mindset of failure's okay, you know, like you said, every company, industry, you know, organization has, I guess, kind of bounds or limits outside of which, like, okay, that's, you know, a different story. But, you know, I do think there are instances where you can have a quote unquote failure that's not detrimental. But really, it's as a leader, how you respond to that and the individual that, you know, failed. And I think if the team sees that response and it aligns with the messaging of, okay, if I fail and, you know, it's not, you know, for a lack of effort or, you know, whatever the case may be, it's not the end of the world. I think that helps. Well, one, it helps folks, I think, operate with a little less anxiety. And I know that that's something that leading up to that first situation was something that Outside of sports, I struggled with a little bit is just being afraid to fail. And so having a leader that responds with, it's okay, let's dissect this a little bit, pick it apart to make sure it doesn't happen again. I think that kind of ratchets down that fear factor. And so people feel a little bit more open to, as long as I'm doing X, Y, and Z, if the outcome isn't great, it's not the end of the world. And we'll just figure out how we can do better next time.
I really like the idea of the reflection of let's dissect this. In a way, though, that doesn't make the employee feel guilty or that they did something wrong, but in a way that's really collaborative, because we can dissect something and go, oh my gosh, it wasn't me who made the error. The system made the error. Or we find out the client told us something they weren't supposed to, or the wrong, whatever, right? Sometimes
Yeah.
we leaders can be too quick to blame the person. But dissecting it really allows us to understand the root cause of why did it happen. In some cases, it's the person, and we learn from that. How do we communicate that, yes, we are, recognizing the mistake you made. We have dissected it. How do we communicate it so that the culture is accepting of those mistakes? Because some cultures, it's this, you did this, it's wrong, fix it. But we want, you did this, let's figure out why. How do we move forward? So, how do we communicate the positivity around this whole thing in a way that does make us be more collaborative and more building a better culture, if that makes sense?
I'm sure there's studies out there and data that could probably, back this up a little bit better. I'm speaking more anecdotally from my own experience, but typically, if there's a mistake or a failure, approaching it with anger, resentment, I think what in the corporate world is kind of a very typical response to that those kind of thing, because they, if somebody messes up and it impacts, if somebody else outside of my team does something and messes up and it impacts me, that's it's an annoyance.
Sure.
But typically what I've found, and again this is just kind of a lot of self development work that I've done to kind of take this step, is understanding that most people by and large aren't trying to mess up. And so if you can kind of take a second and let that initial annoyance like fade for a minute and realize like, okay, this person probably wasn't trying to mess up, fail, make my life more challenging. And if if you're quick to respond in a negative way, all that does is just make that person more defensive. And it makes it that much harder to kind of move forward and actually, resolve the issue versus, if it's more of a collaborative approach, more positive and just kind of like, okay, this happened, and now what can we do to fix, and not necessarily, this is your fault, this is so bad, whatever the case may be, just kind of leaving it neutral at the very least, I think really kind of goes a long way, because then folks don't get defensive, and if anything, they might be more apologetic. They're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I let that happen. Like, yes, let's figure, come up with ways to fix this, real time, but also what can we do to make sure it doesn't happen again? So I've just found that having a negative response typically just doesn't improve things. So why go about it that way?
It's like it's a lot of leaders in my work feel that they need to blame somebody for something going wrong. And I keep training them. It's not about somebody, it's about a process piece that's gone wrong. It could be that they weren't trained correctly, which means it was their error, but it doesn't mean that's the root cause, right? So I love the fact that you mentioned, like, let's really do this in a neutral or positive way. Neutral's good too, if that's uncomfortable to be positive all of a sudden, especially if people are moving from anger and frustration to trying to be a better leader with this, right? I mean, there's steps that we can do, like you said, going neutral with it, right? Which is really important. I want to come back to something that you alluded to earlier, and that was when you were asking your leaders or people above you for help. And although they didn't have the answers, I want to touch on this because I think it's really important in organizations that those leaders above our new managers, our new leaders, or whatever that is, can be mentors if they are great leaders, really, and they can help build the culture through that. What are your thoughts on the mentorship part and that playing a part in organizations or even in the military to assist with building these better cultures around mistakes and failures?
Absolutely. I think there's the cliche that people don't leave companies, they leave managers, they leave leaders. So I think leadership is huge. Having I've been fortunate to have some very awesome leaders that I definitely did look up to as mentors. And I would say something that was consistent among those people is that they kind of challenged me. Like we, I think a lot of times they saw a lot of potential and were like, hey, have you thought about pursuing this? Whether it's trying something new, a different project that might kind of expand my knowledge, across the business or organization, whether it might be, taking an opportunity, to do some self-education to upskill, or improve myself in some way. And then, yeah, I've had obviously leaders that are not like that. But I think something that I've tried to do is even in the instances where I may not have had, the best leader, the leader that I looked up to as a mentor, is trying to figure out what lessons could I take away from their leadership, even if it is so, as simple as, wow, I really don't appreciate or like how this person does X, Y, or Z, and kind of storing that in the back of my mind if I'm ever in a leadership position or a similar situation, don't do this.
And I like that the idea of sharing our stories, our past mistakes to people who are new leaders or who direct report to us, because we've learned lots of lessons. Why not share that with our team?
Absolutely.
So they don't make the same ones, right? I want to come to something now where let's flip it and let's say we as the leader made a massive mistake. How do we own it? What are your thoughts around that? Because it should be that they own it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I as a leader, you, in my opinion at least, like you're accountable and responsible for the successes and failures of your team. And so I think taking, actually taking that accountability and responsibility when things go wrong, I think the best leaders will take on more responsibility when things go wrong and will take less credit when things go right. And I think it's really powerful because the team can see that and sense that, and I think it goes a long way to showing that you actually practice what you preach. If the team has a major win, and instead of taking all the credit, you're like, oh no, this, so and so was instrumental in doing this piece, and this person over here really help work through this challenge, you know, pushing that credit down, you know, I think goes a long way in establishing that trust. So if something, and then if something goes wrong or there is a failure, if you as the leader say, you know, yes, that was my responsibility, I take accountability, I could have done X, Y, and Z to, you know, prevent this. We could have done this differently. You know, I think again, it makes the team feel supported, and sort of confident in the team itself that if things go wrong, you know, the spotlight's not going to come out and s single anyone out. It's, you know, the leader kind of has the team's back, and yeah.
And it's a lead by example, isn't it? It's a lead by example when we make a failure that we own it, but also when there's credit to be had that we don't accept all of it because it always takes more than one person, right? It almost always is not a person that is needing the credit. It really is everybody. So it is a really more of a lead by example. And I love the word accountability that you said too, because we need to be held accountable for our own growth from mistakes and failures, as well as the team, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, good. So if we were to give some strategies to our new leaders to make sure that they're building the right culture where we can own our mistakes, because a lot of times new leaders are very fearful of that. And you mentioned fear earlier. So let's say that I'm brand new to a company, brand new leader, and I don't want to make mistakes because I'm trying to prove everything. Like, what strategies do you have to help me understand that it's okay if we make mistakes, and it's okay to lead by example because it actually empowers the team to accept accountability, right?
You know, I think, you know, there are a few different things I would probably do in going about it, because it is always challenging walking into a new environment because you don't know necessarily what the culture is beyond,
Yeah.
you know, what they might have on their website.
Which is not always true either, is it?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I think really at first trying to observe, you know, that this was something that I remember as a cadet before joining the military. You know, we were encouraged as new officers is, you know, don't just show up thinking that you know everything, and you know, really take a minute, keep your ears open and your eyes open, and kind of learn for a minute. And I know that it's, again, it's kind of a paradoxical thing, because if you're in a leadership position, you typically can't just sit back and learn. So, you know, one way I think to be proactive, is, you know, having discussions with, you know, whoever your leadership structure is, you know, your manager, your senior manager, having discussions with them about, you know, what the culture is like, how they view, you know, whatever the position or work type of work is, you know, how do they view that? What do they think success looks like? You know, what does constitute a failure? You know, what constitutes a failure that's out of bounds versus, you know, what's something that we could, you know, if this does happen, it's not ideal, but, you know, we can work past it, and kind of get a sense from, you know, those points of view, you know, what are your left and right limits? How will they react, you know, to certain news? And then also, you know, having conversations with your team, you know, what do things look like from their aspect? And, you know, does it necessarily mesh with what you've heard from the leadership, and, you know, maybe reconciling those differences? And, you know, also getting a sense of, you know, the folks on your team, you know, what what drives them, what are, different methods or techniques that they respond well to versus not. So yeah, I would say being observant, but also taking a proactive approach to, kind of learning about your environment, can go a long way to, helping find your footing in a new environment.
And it's also great too to be asking questions like, what does success look like? Or to your team, what were the positive things about your last leader so that we know what they really appreciate so we can work towards having that better communication, right? That better collaboration. So love that as an example. If we were to wrap up today and you wanted to give all of our audience that lesson learned from today's conversation, so that they can take something back with them, what would you say their lesson should be today?
I think the lesson I think is the importance of self-reflection, and self-development. And I, even if you're not in a leadership role right now, I think reflection truly is important. And so, I guess tactically, what I typically recommend, and again, just from what I've noticed works for me, is reading a little bit each day. As little as 10 pages. It sounds almost insignificant, but I think typically if you're reading 10 pages of any kind of personal development or leadership book, you can come away with one nugget. And then the flip side to it is journaling daily. So if you can glean, one nugget of something that you want to work on or implement, and then journaling as a tool to, remind yourself of what you want to apply, and then also, looking back at if you had an opportunity to use that new tool or skill, did you in fact use it? Did you forget about it? If you did use it, did it work out okay? Did it not work out okay? And so just those two habits done consistently over long enough, I think you really be surprised at how much growth you can experience.
I love that. I love that. And the journaling, so that our audience knows, doesn't have to be, always about emotions and feelings. It could be, what is the goal and did I achieve it and what lesson did I learn? It could be as simple as that too. So, excellent, excellent lesson learned for every tip or key takeaway, whatever our audience wants to take it as today. So I'm wondering if anybody in our audience wanted to learn more about you or what you do, is there a place you want to direct them to online?
Yeah, I would say I'm most reachable and active on Instagram. And so my handle is at Ruck on Ventures. So Ruck underscore on underscore ventures.
Excellent.
And yeah, I'm always happy to talk about leadership, self-development.
Excellent. And just so our audience knows, it's RUCK for Ruck, just in case, because we have different
Oh, yep.
different possible spellings out there. Thank you so much, Joe, for the great talk on, learning lessons from our mistakes and failures and even how to grow from them. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Of course, we want to thank you, our audience. We hope you gained some valuable insights or tips from today's conversation with Joe. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a great rating. This helps us and our guests like Joe reach even more leaders with helpful stories, advice, and tips. We do love helping other leaders grow and thrive. We would love for you to consider our brand new Amplifying Leadership Circle community. More information is found at amplifyingleadership.ca/community-info. Leadership is better when we do it together. For more information about all of our leadership services, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.